What is good, y'all? It's your boy Biggie Smores back at you with another episode of the Biggie Smores Show. In today's episode, we're going to talk about the Packers. We're going to talk about how I'm terrible at predicting the NFL. We're going to talk a lot of shoes and some UFOs. Stay tuned. All right, so let's kick this podcast off with some NFL talk here. But before I get to that, you know the deal, people. Go follow me on social media. My handle is at Biggie Smores. That's at B-I-G-G-I-E underscore S-M-O-R-E-S. You can find me on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter there. Go follow me, please. Go like our page on Facebook. It's facebook.com/TheBiggieSmores Show. I'm always trying to share like Soul Collector posts, Kicks on Fire stuff, like all that type of stuff. Like anything I find, you know, anything I find interesting, I like to kick up onto that page. So, as you guys heard last week, my predictions were completely wrong. I mean, granted, San Francisco's still in it, but Baltimore got killed. I was shocked by that. I mean, based off of Tennessee's game against New England, like, I knew this could have been a tougher game, but I was absolutely shocked at the way that that game went. One of the guys I follow on Twitter decides to go out there after this game and say, oh, Lamar Jackson's a fraud. Man, Lamar Jackson is not a fraud. He had a difficult game against what could be the one guy from under Belichick that comes out and is successful in Mike Vrabel. Plus, man, you gotta tackle Derrick Henry, and I mean, I know you don't want to. I know you don't want to. That dude is a big dude. My God. But if you want to win a game, man, you gotta tackle him. And the thing is, man, I can't say that Lamar Jackson's a fraud based off of one game when he's tore it up all year long. Flip side, if you go look at Patrick Mahomes, in the Chiefs and Houston game, my God, what happened there, Houston? You had a 24-point lead. You had a 24-point lead. Trying to get cute with a fake punt. Shit. But I mean, Mahomes just shows you the greatness he has. And, you know, I still very, very, very firmly believe in what I said about Deshaun Watson and that he is a special, special player. And right now, man, we're going into an interesting time with Deshaun, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, with all these guys coming up right now, and we're at a interesting point in the league. Then if we go over to the NFC, I know I told y'all I feel bad for my boys for having to go through that. I mean, granted, I can tell you this. It was a lot better for Minnesota to lose like that than it would have been to lose on a fucking double doink. That was a tough game to watch. That front four is just so dominant. As much as I hate to say it, a lot of me has turned around on my feelings with Richard Sherman. He's a very, very, very good, if not great, corner. And I mean, I thought he was done. I thought he was done after the Achilles injury. It was either his Achilles or his ACL. I don't remember. I personally thought he was done. I thought the idea of him going in and negotiating his own contract was stupid. But shit, he's performed. Like, that's the thing, man. He bet on himself and he's winning. Like, and I think that that one move has kind of changed how I feel about him a lot. But yeah, it's just that San Francisco defense is killer. And I mean, Minnesota's defense is great too, but Minnesota's offense just could not get anything going. Nothing. And you know, it's the lack of adjustment too is hard to watch. I mean, I'm not even a Vikings fan. I mean, I was pulling for him, but I'm not even a Vikings fan, and that game was tough because Mike Zimmer's doing the same shit. Like, they're going out, they're doing the same things. You know, he's still trying to run the ball up the gut, and it's like, it's not working. So, you know, but he's constantly throughout the game trying to establish this run game and everything, and it ain't doing any good. And, yeah, I mean, well, and then there was that one point where I think San Francisco ran the ball 12 straight times. On the one drive, they got, I think it was 8 straight times, and they got a touchdown out of it. And it's like, you got to make an adjustment, you know. But now we're going to get to what you guys have been waiting for. I know you wanted to know what I thought about the Packers game. I can tell you this, that first down, regardless, is not what lost Seattle that game. Regardless of the fact that he was short by half a yard, that does not affect this game. I guess, yes, it does affect the game, but that's not what cost Seattle the game. The decision to punt is what cost Seattle that game. That was stupid on Pete Carroll's part. To punt that ball and not go for it on fourth down was stupid on Pete Carroll's part. Granted, you know, his defense showed up for three downs. And then let Jimmy Graham squeak by. Who, by the way, Jimmy Graham needs to stop going out there and flexing. Dude catches like 3 balls a game. Really ain't done nothing. Like, stop flexing. I know y'all pissed off because you're playing against Seattle, who you played for 3 years. You also didn't do shit in Seattle, so he needs to stop that shit. But like I said, he's down half a yard short. Sorry, didn't turn my phone off. He's down half a yard short. And yes, the yellow line on the screen is not the official line. You're right. But here's the thing. His elbow is down half a yard short. He is not past that line until after he slides. Where his elbow is down and that ball is down is where he should be down. So Seattle should have gotten that ball back. They should have had another chance. But like I said, regardless of that, it was a stupid decision to punt to begin with. That's what cost them the game. But as far as this elbow being down, that logic goes for the same thing on that fumble. On that fumble in the first quarter, I don't remember who had the ball. When he got flipped over and whatnot and he goes down, he has the ball in his arm. His arm goes down. Then he loses the ball. If you know the basics of football, an elbow is equal to a knee, so he would be down. And the ground cannot cause a fumble. Therefore, that is the correct call. And I mean, if you want to sit there and get all ticky-tack about it, as a team that benefited quite a bit from some kind of bullshit hands to the face calls. On that last drive, that I think it was the third down play. It was either the second or third down play, I don't remember. Where Jadeveon Clowney got, I don't remember if he actually got the sack or if Rodgers was able to throw it away. But as Clowney was coming through that line, I don't know which Packers lineman it was, just smacks him right in the face. Like, and the thing was, it ultimately it didn't end up affecting Jadeveon Clowney because he's a monster. But, I mean, the other thing is, man, Green Bay gets away with holding more than anybody else. They hold on every single play. And, like, don't get me wrong. I understand. I'm a big dude. I understand that you're going to hold, that there you can call holding on pretty much any play. But the Packers are constantly, blatantly holding. Blatantly, and it doesn't get called. You know, I mean, that's not even to mention the fact that Aaron Rodgers is the only dude who gets that bullshit 12-man on the field call. He's the only dude that they let that clock tick down to zero and give him an extra 2 seconds to snap the ball. Like, don't try and tell me that there wasn't something up with that game and old cleat ref in it. But it is what it is. They're going to go into San Francisco. And there's going to be, we'll see what the outcome is. I ain't making predictions on that shit because my predictions are always wrong. So, so that's kind of the NFL talk I wanted to go with. At this point, I do see the Chiefs making the Super Bowl, but hell, I don't know, man. Ain't no way I thought Tennessee was gonna dismantle Baltimore the way they did. So, to me, I don't know. Like I said, I'm kind of out of this prediction business for now. But I digress. Let's move on. So, in a little bit of strange, unrelated to what I normally talk about on the podcast, news here. The U.S. Navy has admitted that they possess top-secret UFO videos that could cause, quote, grave damage to America's national security. Now, nothing's ever actually mentioned or said about aliens or anything like that. They're just saying they have these videos of, there's three videos, one of which, the Navy won't officially say, but one of which has been circling around the internet since 2007, like I said, the Navy won't officially say that it is. But they did say that the video is the same length as that video. So, I did watch the one video. You know, you can't really see anything other than there's a strange object there. And that's kind of the point of the stance the Navy's taking on it right now is like, hey, look, I can't tell you that this is alien, but it's unidentified. We don't know what it is. And that thing moved fast. So, what are your thoughts on that? Let me know. I think they're out there. That's just me, though. Hey. All I'm saying is, dog, if the universe is as big as they say it is, man, there's got to be something out there. Like, we can't be the only life. We can't be. Like, this, they can't be like just this planet with life. There has to be other things out there. If, you know, if the universe is as big as I say it is, I mean, like, if we're just one galaxy, and there's, you know, supposedly millions of galaxies out there, man, there ain't no way that we're the only thing. So, that's just a little bit of wacky talk for you. If you ever get the chance, there's a place in Mackinac City, Michigan, called Mystery Town USA. It's a fun time. Me and my wife went through it a couple years back, right after they first opened. If you're into, like, kind of weird, aliens, UFOs, Bigfoot, I'm a big Bigfoot guy. If anybody ever wants to hit me up and talk about that, I do like my Bigfoot. Just weird things like that. They, the place is actually, it's owned by a, I can't think of the name of it right now, but it's owned by a production studio. So, like, you go on this tour through this building where, you travel through time to all of these places. It's really, really cool. Like I said, if you ever get a chance, I would definitely suggest stopping there. But anyway, back to the regularly scheduled podcast. Visit MidwesternGentleman.com to discover what it means to live the Great Lakes good life. Whether it's diving into the Detroit hip-hop scene, profiling up-and-coming distilleries, or just sharing stories of artists throughout the Great Lakes area, MidwesternGentleman.com brings it all to life for you. Visit the .com and search for them on your favorite social media platform. Midwestern Gentlemen, live the Great Lakes good life. So to kick off a sneaker talk, we're going to talk about some Jordans here. First up, we got the Air Jordan 9 Racer Blue. The first time I've seen this shoe was actually today as I was doing some research. The colorway is very similar to the charcoal Jordan 9s. Where on those would be red. Where on those would be red. It's blue, that racer blue color. And I'm back. You guys are pretty familiar with my technical difficulties. So anyway, Jordan 9 Racer Blue, similar to charcoals. Instead of the red, it has that racer blue color. But the big difference is these joints have a white outsole. But it still has the little red Jumpman on the side and everything. Or, I'm sorry, the little blue Jumpman on the side on these ones. And then, like, the mud guard is 3M. It's got a bunch of 3M accents. The laces have 3M woven into them and everything. I think it's a really, really dope-looking shoe. Real clean. Supposed to be dropping January 25th. $190s retail on them. Next up, we got the Air Jordan 4 Black Cat Retro. I mean, there's not a lot to me to be said about this shoe. You can't really go wrong with a Jordan 4, if you ask me. Actually, I guess you can. But it's Jordan 4, all black. I mean, if you're familiar with the original Jordan 4 Black Cats that came out in 06, maybe 07, then obviously you know about these then. Upper is suede or nubuck. Like I said, they're all black. Those are going to be dropping on February 1st for $190. Next up, we have a shoe that's actually really dope, and this is the first time that I actually seen official pictures of, shouldn't say official, like up close pictures of it. The Air Jordan 1 High Black Satin. So these have an all black upper, but they have black leather overlay, and then like your toe, the side panel, and the collar are all black satin. Really, really good, clean looking shoe. They have a white midsole and then a black outsole. Makes it pop real good. They have a black, actually it's a Red Wings logo, but instead of it being like embossed like it normally is, it's actually like a patch stitched on. Super, super clean. Just some of the touches on the shoe, like the one thing that I really like is the tongue tag is leather, with a red Jordan, or I'm sorry, red Nike Air branding on it. But like I said, real, real clean shoe. I would have guessed you were looking at, you know, the more premium price. They're actually only $160. Those are dropping on the 18th of January, the 18th of this month here. Next up, we've got a couple really, really dope summer shoes, if you ask me. Both Air Jordan 1 lows. This first one is a white and varsity red. Shoe is all white with just a varsity red swoosh. Really, really good looking shoe. Real clean. It's been said for years that, like, Jordan 1 is like, you know, Jordan's Air Force 1, where they, you know, they make just a whole shit ton of colorways and everything. I mean, it's true. But this is a really, really clean summer shoe right here. All white, red swoosh, and then it does still have the Wings logo branding on the heel, but it's like embossed in the heel, looks real clean. And then the other one is a UNC colorway, so it has the same color blocking as the high top UNC. So you have that UNC blue overlay, and then white toe side panels and collar and everything. And then there's it has the white Wings logo on the heel. Both those don't have a release date yet. You're looking at $90 on them. The next one is actually another Jordan 1, but this time it's the Air Jordan 1 by Dior low top. Basically the same as the high top. Just like the other Jordan 1 lows, you have a Wings logo on the heel. On these joints, it's white. Really, really, really good looking shoe. Obviously, I'm not going to be able to afford it, but good looking shoe nonetheless. There's no release info on that yet. Next up, we have the Air Jordan 34 Black Cats. Similar to the Air Jordan 4 Black Cat. It's just an all black Jordan 34. There is hits of like a lime green on the outsole on them. Almost looks similar to like that altitude green. Those are dropping February 6th for $180. And then what I just read today, right before I was starting on the podcast here, we are going to have two Super Bowl drops. No pictures of them yet. We know that it's going to be an Air Max 200, a Jordan Air Max 200, and a Air Jordan 10. It said January 31st on it. I don't know if that's going to be the case or if they're going to pull some funky, we're going to drop them during the Super Bowl thing like they did years ago. But let's move on from Jordan Brand. Let's talk some Nike. I didn't really want to talk about this shoe because I don't really feel it, but there's so much hype around it. I'm going to talk about it anyway. It's the Nike SB Dunk Low Travis Scott. Like I said, I don't really feel this shoe. I have liked Travis Scott's other collaborations in the past, but I really don't. There's nothing that attracts me to this shoe other than hype and resale if I could get my hands on a pair. So this shoe has a black, like, bandana paisley print on the overlay that is, like, that wear-off, tear-off material. And underneath that is cement print, actually. Side panels is different, medial and lateral. Lateral, you have, they're both, like, a plaid print. Not sure if they're flannel. Flannel's a material, plaid's a pattern, know the difference. But they both have a plaid print in, like, that same tan brown theme. One's just different from the other. And then the toe, the tongue, and, like, the collar area. Well, the toe and the tongue are, like, a lighter brown, and the collar is, like, a darker brown color. It has some stitching on it. I'm not 100% sure what it says or anything like that. And then in all the pictures that I've seen, I can't quite tell. Lateral side, I believe, has a black, it's either black or a brown swoosh. Medial side has a, so the inside of the shoe has a pink swoosh, although in some of the pictures it looked tan, so I'm not 100% sure about that either. We don't know when it's actually dropping or what price point is actually going to be. It's just rumored to be sometime in February. Like I said, I'm not really feeling the shoe myself. I am a big Dunk guy, but I don't know. It doesn't really do anything for me. I'm not to say it's a bad shoe or anything like that. It just doesn't do it for me. Moving on, we got another SB Dunk Low here. It's actually the Plum Retro. Good looking shoe. So they have a, like, plum purple overlay, then a lighter purple in your toe, side panel, and collar. Red swoosh, red laces in them, and not. It's actually almost more of a maroon than a red. And then same laces, same color for the outsole. Good looking shoe. Those are supposed to be dropping February 7th for $90. And then we got the Kyrie 6 Bread. This shoe's actually really dope. Should drop. Today is the 15th, so tomorrow the 16th. It's inspired by the Air Jordan 4 Bread. Whole upper is black. The toe area is like a black leather. The back is like that suede nubuck. Where the swoosh is on the Kyrie, it's got a black swoosh and it's just outlined in either a white or gray. Once again, can't really tell the color. It's a good, clean looking shoe. It's got like a white midsole and then a, gray and red, outsole. Like I said, good looking shoe. Those are supposed to be dropping tomorrow. I didn't see a price point on them. Next up is another Nike collab that is going to be super hype, but this one I'm all about. The Air Force One Supreme. This shoe is so dope because of how subtle it is. It's an all-white Air Force One with the Supreme Box logo embossed in the back heel on the outsides of the shoe. Really, really clean. I just think it's straight fire. I'm sure I won't ever be able to get my hands on a pair, but really, really good looking shoe. It's so basic. It's perfect. It's perfect to go along with an actual Supreme Box logo tee. No release info on that, though. And next up is another Air Force One. It's actually the Air Force One React. I love the concept of this shoe. Execution, not 100% on board with. I think they changed too much of the Air Force One on it. It is similar to the classic Air Force One, still kind of keeps that shape. Your panels and stuff are a little bit different, and that's what's throwing me off. The eyes stay on them. It has a funky shape to it. The back tab, instead of it being a back tab, it's still a back tab, but it, instead of being like the typical, you know, back tab, it actually goes all the way down to the sole, to the midsole, I should say. These ones, have a white upper. They have a big oversized swoosh on them that's just outlined in black. The midsole has a oversized Air branding, and then the stripe that goes along the midsole that is also oversized. On this shoe, the Air branding is black. That stripe is red. But the cool thing about this shoe, they have a drop-in React insole with a encapsulated heel air unit, I believe. These things look sick. And I know I just got done bashing the actual appearance of them, but I guarantee you they're gonna be comfortable, man. And that's what I'm looking forward to. Next up, I'm just gonna bring this up because I kind of feel like I'm obligated to. I don't like either of these shoes, but we got the Yeezy 350 V2 in the tailgate colorway. It's just a gray silver upper. There's an orange heel tab, and then like the stripe on the side and the back, it kind of transitions into that orange heel tab. And then there's the Yeezy 350 V2 Earth. It's just a light brown upper, gum midsole, outsole. It's got some black piping around like the sock liner. Like I said, to me there's nothing special. Like, this is what drives me nuts about Yeezys, is like, they tweak the color like a few shades and then release another shoe, and it's like, why? That's a rant for another day. I'm not gonna get into it, but no official date. Should be dropping this year though. Retail $220 on them. Next up, I don't talk much about Reebok, so we're gonna get into a little bit of Reebok. They got two more questions coming out. I know in the past I've bashed Reebok for always retroing questions. These two questions ain't bad. The first one has an all-white upper and a translucent outsole. Real clean shoe. Another good summer shoe. The other one has a white base with a black toe on them. Black collar area. The eye stays on them because they have lugs. Those are actually black. And then where it says Reebok on them, it's the lettering and all the like details and accents are all gold. The Reebok Vector logo on the side is gold. It's a really clean looking shoe. I really like it. And then Reebok is also releasing three more colorways of the Answer 5 Lows. Actually, I think this is the first time they came back out with the 5 Low. But anyway, one of them's all white. Then it has like a gold i3 logo. The other one is a white and beige. White base, the lace cover thing, I don't know what you'd call it, is beige. And then the third colorway is white and black. Same deal. Base is beige. The base is white. The lace cover thing is black. The heel strap and that is all black on them too. On none of these shoes do we have an official release date or a price point. But hopefully this is a good sign that Adidas actually wants to do something with Reebok. Anyway, that's our sneaker talk for this episode. Thank you, guys. Peace. Guys, I know I say it at the beginning and the end of every single episode, but please go follow me on social media. My handle is at Biggie S'mores. That's at BIGGIE_SMORES. Please go follow me. Give me feedback on the podcast, man. Let me know what you like. Let me know what you don't like. Give me suggestions. Everything helps. Every little bit helps. I'm doing this for the people, man. So let me know what you like. Let me know what you don't. Let me know if you want to be on an episode. I might let you come on. I don't know. You guys, thank you for always listening. Thank you for always supporting. Thank you for the people that do give me feedback. I truly, truly appreciate it. It means the world to me. Thank you so much, guys. Now back to the pod. And that's going to be it for this week's podcast. Thank you guys very, very much for listening. I appreciate it. As always, go follow me on social media. My handle is at Biggie S'mores. That's at BIGGIE_SMORES. You can find me on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter there. Go like our page on Facebook. It's facebook.com/TheBiggieS'mores Show. Thank you so very, very much for listening. If you guys can, subscribe, leave me a rating and a review. That would mean the world to me. I'm trying to get this podcast out on a more consistent basis, so just bear with me. Subscribe and turn on the notifications. You'll get one when I put one out. Before I go, though, I got to do my shout-outs, man. Shout-out to the dudes at Midwestern Gentlemen. They are awesome. I haven't really shouted them out in a few weeks. I always got their spot in the podcast, but I just want to give them an actual shout-out. Shout-out Big Billy Milimaki. Shout-out Griff Dog. Shout-out to Jeremy. Shout-out to Austin. Shout-out to McGaines. Thank you guys for listening. It means the world to me. It really does. I appreciate that. I appreciate your friendship. And as I state at the end of every podcast, just be happy. That's the key to life, is just being happy. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time being negative. Don't waste your time trying to do things that don't make you happy. If something's not making you happy, change. So just be happy. And also, if you guys need help, reach out. Sometimes life is difficult. If you need help, just reach out, okay? The world's a much better place with you in it. As always, though, thank you so very much for listening. I'm going to see you guys next time. Have a great day. Have a great night. Peace out. Much love to you.